Royce Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold, investment consultant, Mr. Money Talk. And last night, the Wolves saw the one seed slip through their fingers. They saw a lot of things slip through their fingers last night, I feel like. They didn't see enough basketballs go through the net. That was for sure in the fourth quarter. But now they have to probably, to be safe, win your last two games to stay ahead of Oklahoma City for that two seed. Although Oklahoma City has a tough schedule with the Bucks and the Mavericks, Pat. But it's going to be interesting the last few days of the regular season.
Yeah, you kind of felt that one coming even beforehand. You've already gone out there and beat them about, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? You went out there and beat them. You're not going to do that a couple of times. And then Jokic was unstoppable last night. So he's a 7 foot, 300-pound point guard. It's pretty amazing. He's not the poster boy for the sleek NBA athlete, that's for sure, but he's fantastically good, and they could not stop him.
It's one of the great bodies in all of sports history, in my opinion, because it makes no sense.
No, and he plays pretty much every game. You know, he takes a game off once in a while, but he's not, doesn't look like the guy that is going to play them all, but he goes and...
Can't pull fat, Pat.
Ozzie. And when they... you know, when they need him, he plays 38 minutes. So, you know, he's amazing. And we probably boosted his chances to win another MVP award last night. People are bored with giving him the MVP award. So they're looking around trying to find somebody else to give it to. But
we should make a list of athletes all time who, when you look at just what they look like physically, the way that they operate versus the actual productivity and output, to Judge point, it doesn't compute. You watch him, he's always huffing and puffing as if he's going to pass out. It looks like he has bad cardio. He can't jump over a phone book, and he scores 41 points on 20 shots. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And there's got to be some serious sweat coming off that guy. Wouldn't he be tough to guard, man?
Jim Pete pointed this out a couple times, that he has the audacity. I mean, he gets one of the best whistles in the NBA, right? He's great at finding and initiating contact. But then the minute there's a borderline call the other way against him, he's incredulous, right?
Yes. It's fantastic. Who's this guy? Braun. I never heard of the guy that's throwing down these
Kansas
dunks. He's a Kansas guy?
Kansas guy.
Yeah. Have they just started playing him more and more lately or something?
He's a first round pick from a couple years ago.
Okay.
And he started mixing in last year, but yeah, he can get up and down. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, and then when they make shots with Jokic around, they're gonna be tough. But that was always gonna be tough. You got to gear it up though. Now I don't know if the Suns are going to have to win when they're here Sunday, or if they'll be locked into where they are. They pretty well locked into sixth anyway already.
Well, right? The Suns are in the seventh spot right now, game behind the Pelicans in the sixth.
Well, then they'll have to win here Sunday.
This is the problem for the Wolves, that those are probably, along with the Nuggets, the teams that you'd like to avoid as long as possible.
Yes.
And if the Wolves can get the two seed, they would avoid. Well, they could still wind up playing the Suns if the Suns win the play-in game or the Pelicans. So like it's looking bad for the Wolves first round matchup right now.
Yeah. But Dallas is playing great right now because Kyrie got interested and he scored 40 a night to go with Doncic is 50 a night. They got the best one too when the two guys are playing, and then Phoenix has got the second best one too with Booker and Durant. I mean, I was trying to think back to 2004, the one time they actually made a run, and it wasn't easy that time either. I mean, Denver, you beat in the first round and you were big favorites to beat them. And that's what it was, a best of five. Remember that was, I don't know when they made that a best of seven, but it was a best of five.
I think that was seven.
That was seven.
They had just
the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they beat him in five, though. They beat him in five, right? Yeah. They beat him in five. But then your second round, you had Sacramento, man. That was, you were the number one seed, and you had them, and they were good. And, you know, they were – I mean, that was a war. That was a battle. That was when everybody got mad at Kevin Garnett for using those war euphemisms.
Loading the clips, yeah, the Uzis, yeah, a couple joints with silencers on them, yeah.
My son was over in Middle East then, and I called him up and said, what do you think of this? And he says, good, that's the way, that should be his attitude. You know, he was, as a Marine officer, he was not offended at all by that. So anyway, that, yeah, it's going to be tough. And you know what's going to happen, of course? The people are going to, if they end up getting a real tough first round match and get blown out, somehow the ownership distraction is going to be,
yes, you're
some
right.
people have blamed the owners. Right. These guys do not get distracted. Okay. They're not distracted. The most overrated angle in the history of sports is distraction. The distraction is if the check bounces or if it's not high enough, that's what the distraction is. You think Ant's distracted by anything except tonight's game and, you know, staying out of trouble the rest of the time? No, that's they're not distracted, that's for sure. But
what do you make? Glenn does have a knack for dropping bombs the day the Wolves play the Nuggets, though. If he's looking to, so the what do you make of the latest one, though? That essentially Woj reported for the audience. Woj reported yesterday that Alex and Mark, as part of the process here to finalize the last payment, they have to submit, hey, you're about to be majority owners. You got to submit like a business plan and a budget so that everyone can review it. And I don't know how many different budgets they submitted, but one of them involved a massive payroll slashing. Maybe the breaking news is they plan on trading Karl Anthony Towns.
That was probably at 100 and 171 million. But I do enjoy the hidden battle, which is the Athletic guys being solidly in the Lori A-Rod camp. So now the Woger has to take a different view, right? So this is part of the ongoing battle in sports now that we don't talk about. But who's getting their information? You know, okay, the DeLorean and A-Rod sold their souls to Sham. So now Woj is so the other side's going to say, hey, Woj, you want something? So that's the way it works, I guess.
I'm not convinced, Pat, that the league is not on Glenn's side as well. So some of that, I think some of that Woger might have come directly from because the league's being very clear. We're going to let this play out. The contract's very, very clear. Yes. Like everything they're doing is for the lawyers, right?
Yes.
But then you quietly go to Woger and say, you should have seen the proposal. These guys are going to trade everybody.
Yeah, and the odds of Woj getting it from the league are much stronger than getting it from Glenn.
That's what I was thinking.
Glenn would have just come out and said it. You know,
Glenn would have issued another press release. Yeah. Here's the budget.
Somebody would just call him. Well, yeah, you know, he would have, he's not a real good leaker. He just says it, you know, that's the way he goes. And now I'm sure when he gets a call at home, as his wife is sitting there telling him, don't answer it. Don't start talking.
You know? Well, and the funniest thing is we had heard this last weekend, and Woj reported at the bottom of his story that after the back and forth, the press release from Glenn and then the media tour from Alex and Mark, Adam Silver came out the next day and told everyone behind the scenes, shut the bleep up, stop doing this publicly. But clearly both sides have still been, or if not Glenn, like there's been a lot of background chatter still and things getting out. So,
but you could have, before the Woj leaked that, you could have heard that on Score North, where we said they're not going to be happy about these two guys going, making the circuit, and the NBA is going to tell them to shut up. We talked about that, you know, almost immediately after the, you know, the Laurie A-Rod people did their rounds and talked to everybody. So
yeah, and Pat, yeah. I mean, we talked about this on Flagrant Howls and probably on here too, that I had heard rumblings from a few different people that are way more plugged in than I am, that, yeah, there's a lot of questions about, it's one thing to buy a house, but can you then like pay for the landscaping and pay for all, you know, that these guys would come in and maybe be house poor NBA owners. And that's what the Woj report detailed yesterday.
Doesn't make sense though. Unless Laurie's so far over his skis with wonder that he doesn't, you know, but the guy's supposed to be a comfortable billionaire, isn't he? And he's already paid his money up front right away. But
he is adamant, and A-Rod behind the scenes, that this is all like, it's all BS on Glenn's end. We absolutely have the money. It's all going to play out. So
A-Rod had the Carlisle group turn him down for whatever he proposed them. The Carlisle was obviously they turned him down because that was A-Rod looking for the money, not both of them, right? A-Rod. Mm-hmm. And then whoever this Blue Court or whatever the name, the NBA had to find them the money, right? Basically,
they got their investor involved, yeah. But he was trying to get a way bigger chunk of the pie than that Blue Court is used to. The other thing is, supposedly, according to what Woj wrote, the Carlisle group, that the evaluation that went to the Carlisle group had all of these cost cutting moves embedded in them. So like, that's what makes this. So I think, you know what? I think this is just a pure and simple, Alex can't pull his weight. I think that's exactly what this is. I think this is one guy who desperately wants to be relevant in sports. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a billionaire's club. It ain't a rich guy's club.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, I guess I would be shocked because of the doing, but I could see Laurie and Taylor being partners, and A-Rod, going back out in the road to find another rich wife. I could see that, but it is interesting that, are they going to be at the playoff game? Well, they can come to the games. They just don't have access to the room that they built for themselves. Right. Yeah. Isn't that basically the difference here?
I think there's a good chance that at least Alex goes to some playoff games. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we got a little run in us here. You were hoping that they could kind of take a breath down the stretch here, and now they will while the play-in game's going on. If they play Sunday, they won't have to start the playoffs till next weekend, right?
Friday
at the earliest.
They start Saturday, right?
Saturday. So you get 5
ordinarily.
Days, it's unfortunate that they're going to have to suck it up and go play the Suns in a war on Sunday to try to win. So
it's going to be, there's some strategy too here, because I don't know that they would play it this way, but you could determine via win or loss whether you face the Suns in the first round, right? Like I would think that there's incentive to just win so that you get the 2 seed. But the problem is, if you win and get the 2 seed, then the Suns go to the play-in. They might win the play-in game, and then you see him as the 7 seed.
7 seed.
I mean,
yeah,
you can't really control it, unfortunately.
No. And, if you go to third, you play the Pelicans. And, I think the Pelicans are going to be a tough club. But Zion, he'll get hurt. He won't play 7 games. By the time you get to game 6, he'll have pulled something. Don't worry.
That's what you're banking on.
I guess I would take the Pelicans certainly over the Suns because – the Suns also have Bradley Beal too, right? He hadn't done anything, but he's been hurt all year. But don't they have him too?
They have Bradley Beal. Also Grayson Allen, one of your favorite college players of all time. God, he leads the NBA in 3-point make percentage. They got
I might go to Sunday game and get a ticket and boo him. I hate that guy. Although this new guy from Duke, he's pretty hateable. Filipowski.
Yeah, the guy who trips people and
that's a Duke fan. Yeah, he's Leitner Jr. He's a cross. Parents might have been, one of them might have been a Leitner, and one of them might have been a Grayson Allen, because he's a cross of those two. He got my Duke hatred back. I was kind of like, I didn't care about him. I was neutral, and then Then I saw him in action on this in the third round, the Sweet 16, and said, "Okay, I hate Duke again. That's good."
Hey, Pat. So, speaking of likable fellows, we have some breaking news. O.J. Simpson has passed away after battling cancer, according to his family.
Oh my God, that's too bad. It's really. I didn't. As the old saying goes, I didn't know he was sick. Did anybody know?
No. The last time I checked, he was still sending out
videos,
tongue-in-cheek videos on social media, yeah, breaking down crimes and different things.
How old? 75, maybe?
Man, it doesn't say in the tweet that I'm looking at, but... Wow. Well, he was the 1973 NFL MVP,
76.
The 1968 Heisman Trophy winner.
76.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. As Norm... as our guy Norm MacDonald said, he had a pretty good image, and until he killed his ex-wife and a waiter. That was the Heisman Trophy.
They can never take the Reggie Bush or whatever they can, or what was the? Oh, they were talking to Charles Woodson. He was Charles Woodson. That Heisman Trophy is something they can never take away from you.
Charles, there he is. Yes.
Unless you kill your wife and a waiter.
Greatest ESPYs of all time.
That was also when he had a 14-year-old girl or something. Said her, he says. Or some girl was mentioned. She says, even too young for Anthony Mason.
Yeah.
that one really caused a groan at the bit. Never, not only was he not invited back to host the ESPYs, he was never invited back to Bristol, Connecticut.
Up until Gervais did the Golden Globes, that was the greatest riff of all time.
Yes.
Gervais surpassed him, but Norm was phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah, Norm was absolutely phenomenal. So our twinks get rained out today and maybe rained out tomorrow. This is a hot streak, boys. They win a game and two rainouts. It'd be fantastic.
That's great. Yeah, just what they need. A couple more off days, seriously, by the way.
So the you were there. Did you get there, Declan? Were you at the game?
Yeah, I was there for all games.
The chucking had to be pretty good, huh? The bullpen, huh?
Wow. Yeah, it was. You know, Jack struck out the eighth there, and I thought, you know, they could have done two things. They could have put Jax back out there for the ninth because it was the bottom of the order. But then the Dodgers were going to counter with the righties because they had lefties coming up. So they ended up putting in Steven Okert, who pitches the ninth inning, and he gets his first career save. Ends up working out pretty well for him.
Considering the first time we saw Okert, he struck out the side. The second time, they didn't get – we got three straight hits, right?
Yeah, so, they did. They did.
But, as the old saying goes, they needed that one after the way they needed to find a game. And Correa, that was a great. How did the idea that he was the guy over there as the cutoff man on the right field line was very rarely interesting defensive. But I guess I haven't paid enough attention to know if in the shift era it's been working that way, or did they just have him there because he's got the arm?
He was behind second. They claimed I saw Dex that Julian was supposed to cover second, but I don't think they were joking. Correa basically said, "I'll take it."
Yes,
because Correa, if you guys go back and look, Correa, and they're right, but he's the cutoff man essentially for every play with a play at the plate.
Okay,
if there's going to be a relay, he is in every cutoff position. I've never seen
he's,
before.
Probably unless he's over there playing deep shortstop or something. It's a right-handed hitter. Who hits
then
the
maybe,
ball
yeah,
right field. But yeah, that's phenomenal. I mean, that was like a traditional second base. Nobody in the old baseball ever would have even contemplated having the shortstop be the cutoff man behind first base, but. He had to run fairly hard to get over there, I would think. I don't know. I couldn't tell, but what a throw. Man, he can
play, man.
I was talking to Smalley, and I didn't use it when I wrote the column Sunday about him, but I was talking to Smalley, and he said he just gives them a class. He just gives the team a level of class because he's such a professional as far as being a shortstop is concerned. And he's getting some right field hits now too.
Yeah. Like him poking those line drives to right field. Yeah. He's, this is the version that you hoped would come to fruition.
Yes, and boy, they need that too. What if you had a normal shortstop with Eddie playing second? But Eddie, swing the bat, Eddie.
Look at
all
that.
You had to do. We threatened to send him to St. Paul, and look, he's trying to save his job, man.
Eddie, we're trying to help you here, man.
Yeah,
you know, we're
right.
Just
swing the bat. All we want you to do is swing the bat, man. Isn't it so much fun, more fun, Eddie, than running around the bases than sitting there and bitching at the umpire as you're walking back to the dugout, taking another third strike? It's more fun. He's strong, though, isn't he? Oof.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
All three home runs in left field the other way, so.
He's got some, there's some Joe Mauer in there, man, like just overly patient. He's got that little wind tunnel to left field.
But Joe, I bet Joe didn't. Did Joe get called out 15 times a year?
No, Joe knew how to flick a pitch foul stay alive.
Yeah, he didn't do that. So I'm still, do you guys still have trouble wrapping your head around the fact that Joe made it the first time?
Yes,
Joe's going into the Hall. He's one of the youngest guys ever to be inducted, right?
Yeah, what is
his
career?
30,
probably is.
Is he 40?
40, right? He's 40? Just turning 40, 40, I think. Yeah. I think he's just turning 40.
Well, yeah, he's still really young, though.
Yeah,
bro.
Oh, God, I think he's one of the youngest ever. Yeah.
He just turned, no, he's turning 41 in a week, April 19th.
Okay. All right. So they dragged him out once for opening day, but he stayed about 5 minutes and took off, right, to catch Dick Bremer's fastball, and that was, I don't know, did he stick around?
He stuck around, yeah.
They did it? Okay.
Yeah, I think it was in the fifth. Oh, he went and helped take the countdown to until Joe goes into Cooperstown. Each game, they have like a day counter or a
game counting
counter
it down
on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
how about, then I think one of the highlights yesterday, though, was the letter that one of the Wild season ticket holders posted on Twitter that he was it a form letter?
It's a form letter. They sent it. Yes.
Wild out.
Another great season in the books.
Another fantastic season.
What a great season.
Who would write that? You know?
Well, who allows it out is my question.
I don't know.
Like, who reads it and says, yeah, let's send it out?
They probably made you send in your playoff money earlier, right? And they're trying to get you to let them keep it, right? I would have guessed. I don't know.
It could, like, you can use that deposit for next year's season tickets or something.
Yeah, but they start out sending out playoff bills every year. Yeah, March or something. So I don't know.
Well, Pat, we got to get to a scoop session with Doogie here, who's going to fill us in on some Vikings and Wolves stuff.
You guys have been breaking news on my little bit here, though. OJ's dead, my God.
The juice is loose.
As Judd said via our text thread here, he can finally learn who the killer was now.
Yes.
Get to the pearly gates and St. Peter, who did it?
I know we got to go, but I'll never forget being the next day I was in New York when it came to get to cover the World Cup. And I had a World Cup game there the next day at the World Cup opener at East Rutherford. And all the Irishmen drunk out in the parking lot before the game, very upset that they turned on looking for World Cup coverage the day before. And all they got was a guy driving around in a white lorry. What was going on?
Yeah.
AC, upset. Man. Al Cowlings, we got to find him. Yes, sure, he's very upset by this.
They'll get Al's still with us, right? I think Al's still with us. So, okay. All right. See you guys.
All right, Pat. Bye. We'll see you tomorrow. There he is. Roycey Unchained, presented by Josh Arnold here.